Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we praise you right now. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your word that is alive and powerful, working in our lives. We thank you, Father, for your work in each one of us. Father, we release our faith right now, prayer for Pastor Bill. Father, continuing to believe and see the complete manifestation of health, yes, healing, Father. Strength, heal and recovery to him. Father, we praise you and thank you for the word you've implanted in his heart, the vision for this house, the things that will continue to move forward in your plan and purposes. Father, we thank you for the body of believers here in this place at Abundant Life Center. Father, we join our faith with Pastor Bill and Donna for strength and healing and recovery to him in the name of Jesus. Father, we also lift up our brother Alan. We thank you, Father, for continual strength, healing, and recovery to his body. Father, we thank you that you spoke a word to him, yes, even beforehand, of things of in preparation for what may transpire in this trip, wow, and that he was not caught off guard. Father, we thank you for health and recovery to him. We look forward to the testimonies that will come forth,
yes,
from his trip, Father, with his own health and recovery, and also the opportunities for ministry there in that place in Tanzania. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers and going before us and preparing the way even this day, Father. And Father, may our hearts be open to hearing and receiving your word as your spirit would give us understanding as we continue to grow in knowing you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Pastor Bill was not feeling too well and felt it was needed for him to be removed for right now and get home and get some more rest. We all know Pastor Bill to be the kind of person that is all in when he is going to do something. And so we are thankful for that example he's given us. But we all encounter those times when, you know what, we just need a little bit more help right now. And so praise the Lord. I hope you are ready to receive what the Lord would have on my heart for you this morning and to hear what he would say. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. God calls Abram. Now, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us what Abram was doing. What was his trade? What was his work? What was going on in his life at this time? We don't know. All that we know is we come into his life at the moment when the Lord enters into his life. And we see that forward, but how many of you know his life didn't start there? Like, he had a life up until that point. He was doing things. He had family. He had occupation. Whatever he was doing, we don't know. That's a blank slate for us. But what we do know is that God spoke into his life at this appointed time. See, sometimes we can over-spiritualize things and read the Word of God, all these great, perfect people. Look at Abraham and all the others. And we don't realize they were just flesh and blood people like us. And so let's not forget the point that we have no clue what was going on in Abraham's life. Maybe he was dealing with strife or with a family. Maybe he was dealing with just work challenges. Maybe dealing with family challenges. We have no clue. But being a person, he probably encountered some of the same things that we do. And that's important for us to realize. We can look at this and read through it and see, oh, Abraham, why'd you make that mistake? And why'd you do this? Didn't you get the point God called you? We can't have him way up here in our spiritual minds or eyes as to he was just some perfect godly man from day one. No, he likely was not. And then when we see the evidence of that, we need to interpret that as, you know what? Abraham has some things to work on in his life. He wasn't perfect. And we see his mistakes, but then we also see later in Genesis, or later in New Testament, how God remembered him. And so God doesn't expect us to be perfect in our journey or in our life in terms of getting everything right along the way. All he expects us to is to keep taking those steps of obedience and then humility when we go the wrong direction to keep moving forward. And guess what God's going to remember? He'll remember the steps of faith in that part of our life. Sometimes people think for God to call a person, they have to be some kind of amazing, perfect, strong, spiritual hero. And the reality is no. Someone like you, someone like me, God can call anyone. And Scripture does give us plenty of examples of people like Gideon, who were far from what we would think as ideal, as qualified to be any kind of a leader. Maybe Abram would be in that category initially as well. We just don't know. But we're going to pick up here in Abram's life, and I want to share some things that, you know, I hadn't seen before relative to some meaning of names and considerations. But the starting point has to be God calls Abram, but Abram's life didn't begin there. Abram was a person. We know he had a family and all these things up and even till that point. So we don't know what was going on. So let's give some grace to Abram and realizing he probably wasn't a perfect person. He had things to work on in his life. And now let's pick up here and see where God interjected. You know, God doesn't just speak to somebody at the moment they have it all together. He speaks to them, and he will speak to you at the moment he ordained. Why? You can ask him when you get there. I don't know. But obviously, if it's God's timing, it's the right timing. How many of you know God's timing is rarely our timing? Usually, he's either late or early in our minds. Usually, it's late. But it's always his perfect timing. So we're going to step into Abram's life now at the same moment God did. And we're going to look at a few key things. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show you. And I will make you of thee a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, there's a couple things we got to look out there. Who was the one that called him? He says, and the Lord called him. You know, there are a lot of voices in this life of people who might think you should be called to this or think you should be called to that. And they might speak that into you. Maybe they have observed something of a strength or a skill or a gift in your life. And they're meaning, even well-intentioned meaning, to encourage you, but it could be leading you in the wrong direction. You know, I remember after we moved back from Russia, and I began working with Action of PA, a local kind of sort of political pack with some things, and then getting into some politics and looking at these things. And I had numerous people coming to me and saying, Shane, I could see you running for office. And, you know, that really went into here. You know, I had a desire. You know, we need godly people in positions of politics also, don't we? And so it's not an ungodly thing I was considering. And so I'm considering and I'm considering and I'm thinking. And I didn't realize how much I was really thinking about this until one day I have a conversation with my wife. Husbands and wives, now your spouses are a very important sounding board. They hear from God too, even when we don't want to believe it. And so I remember she's just doing her thing. She was folding laundry that evening, and I say to her, talking about all these things of what I'm involved with and what I'm seeing and what this, and she just stops folding something, and she looks at me and she just says, Shane, just so you know, I don't see you running for politics. And kept folding. And it just blew my mind. I had at least the wisdom to say, I can't understand how you're responding. I need to go pray. So please, at least I got that part right. I would encourage you, if you're not sure you understand or even agree with somebody who is a trusted person in your life, at least just say, let me consider it. Let me go pray. Now, the problem was how I began my prayer. God, what is wrong with my wife? Why is she not hearing me? Why is she so far out in left field? Why everybody else sees this and is saying this except her? And I'm not exaggerating. I actually said those things in my prayer. And the Lord said, Shane, your wife is right. Because if you step into that now, it will be a distraction from what I'm calling you to next. Well, that was like a cold shower on top of all the things I was thinking I was going to go in a direction. So I came back out and I said the words, honey, you were right. I was wrong. God said you were right. I don't know what to do now. I need to go pray some more. And so the Lord said unto Abraham, the Lord, I guarantee every single person in here, every single person who has ever existed, who exists, and who ever will exist, God has a specific plan and purpose that can come to pass in their lives. God wants to speak to everyone. So for those of you sitting here, he has spoken to you, he is speaking, and he wants to continue. The question is, can you discern his voice? What is the Lord saying to you? The Lord spoke to Abraham, not because he was anybody special. He was just a person that in God's grand design and plan, he was called to certain things. Guess what? You're no equal or less important than Abraham, than any person in these pages. Because Abraham's not alive today. You are, with other people. And there are people today Abraham can't reach, but you can. It's perpetual throughout the ages and generations. God wants people who can be divinely positioned wherever he wants them to be to reach, to seek, and save the lost. Isn't that what it's all about? So we have to recognize, what is God calling you to? Honestly, I was baptized when I was around 12 years old, and I sincerely believe I was saved at that point. He was my Savior, but he was not my Lord. It wasn't until college, and you've heard this testimony before, on that moment when I pursued all of my dreams unto their complete destruction, all of them were just shattered. Even like realistic possible things that I thought could happen. And they were all just shattered, and I'm at the point of ready to just surrender my life and just be over with it. I have no more purpose. When God said those words, if you're going to give your life away, why don't you at least try giving it to me first? He had been my Savior. He had never been my Lord. And that was in college. Finally, when I got a hold of him and made him my Lord, all of a sudden, things looked differently. Like I began, it seemed like everywhere I went to church with friends, because in college I went to with friends at different places, like everyone's talking about missions. And I'm thinking, what, is it like missions month? I really thought it was like a missions awareness month or something. There's all these months for awareness for this, that, and the other. I thought I must have missed the memo. So I'm asking my friends at lunch, they're like, what are you talking about? Oh. And then it dawned on me, oh, maybe God's trying to communicate with me. You know, at least I had a step up on Samuel there. Samuel never got it. He had to have Eli, his priest, let him know, hey, it's probably God trying to get a hold of you. Next time he calls you, say, here, Lord, I am, speak. You might not get it the first time. It's okay. Just stay with it. And when you do realize it is God calling you, pay attention. Because then God said to me, I'm calling you to go on a mission trip to a foreign country with no one you know. A mission trip? That sounds good. I don't need a passport. So how am I going to a foreign country? I guess I got to do that work. With nobody I know? I was not a very social person at that point in my life. I didn't like the idea of being around complete strangers. I was very much introverted, believe it or not. And I can relate. God calls Abraham. He says, get out of your country, foreign country. Well, that was me too. Away from your kindred. Okay, so no one you know. And away from your father's house. And so I had some connection with Abram here with some of these things. But having to recognize this was God who was calling me. But you know, God didn't fill out my passport paperwork. He didn't pay that bill. He didn't write the support letters and raise the money. I had a part to play. God's not going to do everything for you. He will give you the instructions, but then you have to obey. I'll never forget the first letter. I believe it was the first letter I received back after it was AOL at that time. How do you write a support letter? I literally typed that in. I had no instruction. I had no guidance. I had no help with that. So I used Google. Well, it wasn't Google. It was AOL.
You're right.
And so I literally went online and asked the computer, how do I write a support letter? And so I got the support letter written and sent a number of them out, got addresses from my parents. They were supportive. Sure, sounds good. I think one of the first letters that got back was somebody saying, how dare you ask for money to go on the mission field when we need help right here at home? And my response was, okay, and put it aside. My parents weren't overly thrilled with that particular family member. I had to calm them down a bit. But I had the potential. I could have been like, oh, that's right. You know, there are needs here. And maybe I miss God. Maybe, you know, I could have had those thoughts. When God calls you to something, stay in it. Stay with it. Was that person wrong? Do we need help here in the States? Of course we do. But they were wrong in that this was what God was calling me to do now, this appointed time. God called Abram. Whatever was going on in his life, maybe it was a very inconvenient time. Maybe he was a prosperous business person and had big deals and lots of money, and now God's calling me to leave all this? We don't know. But God calls you when he calls you. You don't control that. What we do control is how we respond. So we have to recognize who is calling us and listen to God's voice first. Then, what did God call him to do? He said, I want you to just get away from, leave your country, your kindred, your family, and go to a land I will show you. He didn't even tell him where. He just said, I'll show you later. Now, I'm not sure if this was like an audible voice, a big boot. I don't know how God spoke to him. I don't know what relationship, if any, Abram had at that point with God personally. We just don't know these pieces. But we see what God said to do. And then he does help them and tells them what the end result will be. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing. You know, when God speaks to you, it will require steps of faith. And every next step of faith will require greater faith than every previous step. In fact, you'll look back and think, boy, those steps are pretty easy. But at the time, they sure weren't. It was not easy writing support letters and basically asking for money from people. I've never done asked that before. It was not fun asking for money. That was a step of faith for me. Getting my passport. Even being willing to think of going to a foreign country. I didn't count Canada at that time. I've been to Canada. But a foreign country, okay, with nobody I know. I'm not comfortable at all with any of this. But it came at the time after he called me to accept him as Lord. He didn't speak this to me on the bridge. Oh, by the way, hey, you're ready to end your life? Why don't you go on a mission trip to a foreign country with no one you know? I surely would have jumped. You know, God has timing for these things. He needed me to know he still sees purpose for my life. It doesn't matter what has been in your past. There is nothing that can keep you or disqualify you from God still having purpose and vision for your life. Nothing. There is nothing, nothing, nothing you can do. Yet we quickly disqualify ourselves sometimes for one reason or another. God will never forsake you. His callings and gifts are without repentance. He's not going to change his mind. Young, old, and anywhere in between. God's criteria for when he calls you is his own criteria. Man has their criteria. If we follow man's criteria, how in the world was Moses qualified to lead people? He never led anything but sheep. Pretty sure they're different beings or creatures than people. Let alone committing murder back in the country he's going to. I mean, there are plenty of examples in Scripture that show us God calls unqualified people. But I forget who it is, Pastor Bo quotes all the time saying, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those he calls. And their preparation is perfect in how God wants to prepare them. We have to know who is calling us. We have to know what God has told us. And then we have to act. I know some of you in here are students wondering what's next, or maybe you just graduated, figuring life out. Don't over-spiritualize things. Don't think, well, being up here and preaching is much more important than working in a business or cleaning a bathroom. You're wrong. Because I don't know about you, but those guys pick up the trash every week. I'm thankful they do. There's a hierarchy in the eyes of man in terms of what's more or less valuable. But the eyes of God, it's one criteria, obedience. What's God called you to? It might make absolutely no sense to people around you. Well, don't we see that a lot in here? It doesn't make sense in the eyes of man, always, what God might call us to do. But we trust in God's plan and what he wants us to do. Now, we are going to fast forward here a little bit. Well, I want to just preview through some things here in chapter 12. You know, God calls him, and he partially obeys. He still took Lot with him, actually took his father initially as well. They move on. Then we see problems arise in verse 10, and we see he goes to Egypt. It says in chapter 12, verse 10, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." And we all have probably heard this story. What happens next? Tells his wife, "Pretend you're my sister. Let's go down so we can survive. At least I can live." And then it goes bad for the king because God makes him aware that's actually his wife, not his sister. Get out of here. And then they leave and go back. I'm just summarizing a little. The point is, what made him? I mean, God called him to a land, and now all of a sudden, Abram decides to take a detour that he thinks, whether motivated by fear, motivated by good intentions, motivated by, I don't know what it was, but either way, he decided to take a detour and head down to Egypt. You know, sometimes we make those detour decisions in life. We think we need to help God a little bit here or there. And we don't, we can word that now, but we don't mean that at the moment. We mean it with sincerest of intentions. We're not trying to go against God, but we just think maybe we're going to fill in the blanks rather than just keep seeking God and stay where he's called us. I remember the first 6 years of Grace Academy, once we reopened, we were only a preschool. We had 1 to 2 to 3 classes. And there came a point throughout those years when God would say to expand this or do that, and we had to add a class. Well, that costs money, you know. And at the same time, within a short time after God would say that to me, some random person, a parent, a grandparent, would come up to me and they would say, almost verbatim, "You know, God put this on my heart." I knew right where they were going. "And I want to sow into what the Lord's doing here in Grace Academy." And they would give me a check, and it would be for the amount that we needed. Well, that happened numerous times. But then there came a time when we had a big expansion coming. And boy, I really thought God needed some help then. And so I decided to really initiate myself and go and talk to some individuals about possibly making a donation and seeing if they wanted to know they had a heart for the school. And you know what? No one came to me then with like how it had been. And we began to get really tight with some things financially. I'm like, "God, what's going on?" And he said, "Well, you stopped trusting in me. You cut off my provision when you entered into trusting in your own ability." Well, I was quick to repent. You know, man can do a lot of good things, but you can never do anything close to what God can do. Just let God be God and watch what he will do. And sometimes it's very hard. And we don't like 11th hour provision, right? We don't prefer 11th hour provision. We like first hour, maybe second hour, a lot earlier on for us planners, right? Oh my goodness, yes. You get to the 11:30th hour, maybe 11:59th, it's really nerve-wracking. Does any of that change who God is?
No.
And that happened recently with this current school year with the school, where there was a need that we had. And Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Last 11 years, I remember what you've done. I can't see what else. I say, Lord, there is nothing in my ability I can do. This is a need. We need this to be filled. And the 11th minute of the 11th hour, you know, towards the end there, the provision comes. And I remember at that moment, after I had that call, I immediately remembered back in the spring, or a few months prior, talking with somebody who was newly hired last year, and we're talking about just needs of the school and opening positions that we have. And they said to me, oh, Shane, I know we have these openings, but I learned my lesson last year when you said to me, you know, God always provides, and no matter how late it gets, so I'm not concerned. Boy, was I convicted. And I'm like, oh, man, that person's putting my own words, tossing them back at me. No matter how many times you go through something, you still have the next something that comes. And it's new. Maybe it's bigger or greater or whatever it is. Just remember who God is. Remember what he's done before. But you can't stop there. Because maybe what's before is smaller than what's needed now. You remember what's before, but you keep your eyes on who's ahead. Who called? Who called? And knowing who he is. Maybe you're in a place right now of just not knowing what the next step is. What's ahead? Job or school or whatever it is. Remember who does know. Take the time to be with the one who's already ordered every step of your life because he wants to tell you. But be open to whatever he tells you. Don't put God in a box. When God told me, we were on that mission field and we went to this, after a number of divine appointments, and we went to this school in Russia for her interview, and what they needed was exactly what she wanted to do. And then he looks at me and says, and what do you do? And I said, why? I'm here for her. Like, it wasn't rude. I had never considered any personal involvement in Christian education. And that certainly did not fit inside my missionary box. And so I said the infamous words, I will pray about it. But then I actually did. And then God spoke and said, I'm opening this door for both of you. I said, I do not understand that at all. It was I don't want to say farthest in terms of value. I had just never considered it. But I obeyed. And as many of you know, the rest is history relative to what the Lord has done and is doing in my heart relative to Christian education that I didn't even know existed. There may be things in you that you don't even know are there yet. Spend time with God and he will lead you unto their awakening. Just trust him. So we see Abram, they needed some awakening here in his heart with trusting God. Didn't work out so well, but God still intervened. You screw up, God doesn't leave you. He will still intervene to help. God wants us to grow. It's not like one minute he speaks to us, the next minute you're perfect. It's not how this works. You're probably going to screw up along the way, as we see that happen with Abram. I mean, seriously, how many of you wives would be completely fine if your husband said, hey, go tell everybody you're my sister so I don't die? He didn't say anything about caring about her. I mean, think about that. That's not a small screw up. And yet God intervened. So just when he calls you, whatever he calls you to, trust in him. And when you screw up, humble yourself and enter right back in, and God will be with you. So God provides a way out. Then chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, good boy, he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Well, let's pause there. He's now very rich. We don't know, well, did he have that rich when he came out, or did he have it as a result of being with God? We don't know, but we know it. He was very rich. You know what can tend to happen to rich people? They trust in their riches. Not all. But it's a clear pattern. People, and you don't have to have a lot of money to trust in it. People can have a little and still trust in that. But we see he was rich. How much does that influence him? We don't exactly know, but just laying some groundwork here of who he was. Verse 3, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Good boy, he returned to the last place he heard from God, Bethel. That's smart. If you ever get in that place of, I feel so lost and distant from God, well, when was the last place you heard him? Just go back there. Start there. You're not losing ground. You're being realigned. And God will take it from there. Yes. Who went back there to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them both, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Now, back in chapter 12, verse 1, what instructions did God give to Abram? He told him to leave his country, his kindred, his father's house. Well, he did part of that. Didn't he leave the country? We see that. He left. But Lot is still with him. Now, culturally, I don't know what's going on in his mind, because Lot's father passed away. Abram's brother, Lot's father, had passed away previous to this. So maybe Abram took it on himself to be the caretaker for Lot. Maybe that was part of the scenario. I don't know. But either way, no cultural, familial truth or reality should be greater than our obedience to God. It doesn't matter. The name Lot means this: veil, hidden. And you think metaphorically with this, God did not show Abraham more of what was to come until he fully obeyed and removed the veil, separating from Lot. Sometimes there are things in our lives where we've maybe mostly obeyed or partially obeyed, which, you know, all of that is complete disobedience. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. God doesn't reward us in percentages. Well, you obeyed me 30%, I'll bless you 30%. It's not how God operates. We have to fully obey what he calls us to. But sometimes when we partially obey, we can expect God to partially bless us. And then we don't fully complete the obedience. And there are things in our lives that cause a veil, that hide the rest of what God wants to do and bring into our lives. Yes. It's still there. It still exists. As it said, as God first called Abram. But you see what happens after the veil was removed, after Lot separated from Abram? Then God speaks more to him. Down in verse 14. So we see in the previous verses to that, Lot chose his land and went there, separating from Abram, and now God speaks again. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot was separated from him, after Abram fully obeyed what God said. That's not just a matter of fact. That is a principle. After Lot was separated, God spoke, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, north, south, east, west. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your seed forever. Is there anything, think about what you know God has called you to, or what God has said. Is there any part of that where you've not been fully obedient? If so, don't get into condemnation. Just recognize that there's more to come. But it remains hidden from us until we step into complete obedience. God wants to bring it to pass. But it can't come to pass until the veil is removed. And guess what? You remove the veil. You remove the hindrances. You're the one. God might show you what's to come and what to do, but you have to walk it out. I could have said, okay, God, you call me here in the mission field to a foreign country with nobody I know. All right, I'm going to just talk about it to everybody, but I'm not going to bother filling out paperwork to the passport. I'm not going to bother. I'm going to tell all my friends and invite them to come with me. You know, if any part of that would not have been fully what he said, I don't know what that would look like in my life. I don't know what would have happened. I can tell you what did happen because I fully obeyed. The provision came, got my passport, flew down to, maybe it was Tennessee, I believe that first time, met these complete strangers. Now, I was 20, 21 at that time. It was a teenage, so I'm the oldest one there beside the leader. These are all like kids who are like 13, 15, 17, varying ages on this trip. All of a sudden, I found myself surrounded by complete strangers who all of a sudden looked up to me and looked to me for leadership, looked to me for help. And all of a sudden, something awakened inside of me where I could be who I could never be around my people that I knew, because I allowed how my life has up to that point, who I've been, to define who I will always be. That's why it says Jesus could do no mighty works in his hometown because of what I call that sin of familiarity. Oh, well, we know him. He was just the carpenter's boy. We know this. Too often, people allow their familiarity with someone to be how they define someone and not see the grace of God that's in a person. May we not do that. May we recognize even those in this body who we see here, not look at somebody and say, well, I know this, 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 and this about them. Who cares? What is God doing? How do you see the grace of God operating in a person? And how can we be a help and encouragement to that? I realized on that trip why he said some of the things that he said. You know, I didn't have full understanding before I obeyed. You will never expect to have full understanding before you obey God. Understanding may come later, but you still have to obey. And it was on that trip I realized, I now see, and I was thankful, I am not around anyone I know. I can just be free to be who God wants me to be, not feel trapped by who I've been. And it was so freeing. Sometimes some of those walls can be hard to break free from, but God can break through them. God has called and has a calling for each of our lives, each of your lives, equal in value, precious to God. God spoke and called Abram. It's the same God. It's the same voice who's called you. And in God's eyes, it's the same value of what he's calling you to as the person next to you as it was to Abram. Different in time and season and generation, but as I said, I don't see Abram here now. Abram can't reach the people who are here in this generation. You are. Where has he called you to? Who has he called you to? Ephesians 4:1 says, you know, we were called before even creation was made. I can't fathom that, how God could hold in his mind all people who would ever exist and know what he's called them to. But that's why he's God. It still is amazing to ponder and consider. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you, we'll see it most of the way, and you got to do the rest. Is that what it says? He who began the good work will finish it. Remember how it said back there in chapter 12, it said, he called him and said, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse you. Do you see how God can use I? He's the source of all that help. We can't allow ourselves to interject ourselves. All of the resources of your life, your time, your money, your energy, your gifts, your talents, your skills, your everything are given to you by God. So you owe them all to Him. But you don't use them for Him begrudgingly. You use them for Him because it comes out of a grateful heart of all that He's given you. See, He doesn't require all of you unless He's given us the example by first giving all of Himself. He doesn't ask any more of you than the example He set for us. He gave His Son to die, to be tortured, to experience that torture, to in death and hell. So you realize, now I'm calling you to die as well. Die to yourself in living for yourself and give all to me. I don't know the length of my days, how long my life will be. I don't honestly concern myself with that. It is a waste of time. You know, the scriptures people like to talk about, 120 years, this, that, and the other. Who cares? Who cares? Because if we're going to measure the value of a life by the length of the years, well, then the disciples sure were miserable failures. They didn't. I mean, even Jesus didn't live past just over 30. He measures our lives by the length and the adherence of obedience to His plan. Don't allow the world system for equating and judging your life and the value of it. Look at God's. He's the one who calls you. But it all goes back to where it began with Abram. Do you know the one who's called you? And do you know what He's called you to do? Trust that. And I want to add this, and I'll end with this. As you think about the people who are sitting around you right now, people at this church, as you think about people in your life, your family, maybe it's your friends, your coworkers, maybe it's your classmates, what can you do to help them in fulfilling God's call for their life? Do you see them? Maybe it's your own children or grandchildren. Do you see them in light of the grace of God, or do you just see them according to the things that frustrate you, that bother you, that this, that that? Like, those things will be there, by the way. But God. Because regardless of your connection or relationship to anybody else, if they're a brother or sister in Christ, we're part of the same body. And what's best for me, I'm going to be selfish, what's best for me is to ensure that you are in the right place doing your function and purpose in the body of Christ. So how can I help you? Not that we want to have a selfish mentality, well, I'm going to help you so it helps me. But that's the truth. Because if we're all doing what God calls us to do, we will naturally benefit from it. Well, that's not our motivation, but it will be a byproduct. We want everyone to be where God's called them to be. Whatever nation that is, whatever occupation that is, it doesn't matter. So we need to be able to discern and trust God, to hear from God for us, and then pay attention to what God's doing in the life of somebody else, and be a help to be the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You have called us. Even before we were born, before creation began, we cannot understand that. And yet we see time and time and time again through Your word and the names on those pages and the lives therein, or from our own life experience, we see Your faithfulness. We see that the way in which You operate Your kingdom is not like how systems of this world operate. And may we not allow ourselves to be confined or restrained to the world's systems of value and purpose and calling, but to Yours. Father, I pray that each person here would take time to talk and listen with You, to hear and to know what You've called them to, and to then give themselves fully to it. Father, for Your glory, we do all that we do. And we praise you and thank you for your faithfulness, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit, that you empower us, equip us, strengthen us with all that we need, and joy in the journey. In Jesus' name, amen.